Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. I don't know what's going on with Pete Bedhurst. I heard just a series of expletives.
Uh-oh.
Hey, something must have happened.
That means
the end
something,
of this update.
Something wasn't working.
Yeah.
That's what that means. Because he never messes up.
I'd like to find out.
It always means, I guarantee a button wasn't pressed or something.
Oh, somebody wanted to talk to him on the phone multiple times today, and he's getting tired of it.
Okay, got it.
What, somebody he works with?
Somebody from another station, yeah.
Yeah.
They wanted to talk to him on the phone?
In other words, they probably wanted to critique something.
Like, he does updates for other stations, and they keep calling.
Yeah. Here's what I know about Pedro.
They're annoying him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have prepaid for my Girl Scout cookies that his daughter is selling, $22, and I'm just waiting for him to ship them.
Man, you got
ship those chips.
You know, the
four boxes.
Say, we believe technically stuff is not working right now. Could you pre-record this for the next hour? And then they call back. I'm not sure if my line is working, but could you please dial in and see what happens? And maybe it does work. Maybe it does work. The problem was they called right in the middle of one of my updates earlier. So, yeah. I mean, you know, hey, I'm a man. I'm busy. I'm trying to do things here.
Tell them to zip it.
You're always
just
busy.
Call them up and say, zip it.
Have a nice day.
He was like, F these people.
Well, he was bitter on Monday, I guess. What's today, Wednesday? He was bitter on Monday. And I walked by him and I said, what's up?
And you thought I was a villain, didn't you?
You didn't say anything to me.
I did.
No, you didn't.
I just wasn't.
Okay, well, that's not saying what's up. You obviously were pissed about something.
Next time I'm going to go, Jason Bishop, what's up, my boy?
All right, that'd be great. But there was obviously something bothering
sure.
you, and I said, what's up, bro?
He's preoccupied.
And he looked back at me and with disgust, and I said, I didn't do anything to you. I mean, you're probably pissed at someone else here, but I didn't do anything to you.
Nope.
I'm just saying what's up.
Nope.
Pete is definitely one of those guys. He's
I'm never pissed at anybody here.
Right.
Pete is.
That's a lie.
Pete is.
Put him on a lying liar machine.
I don't know if I would say Pete
get Robert Smith in here.
Bipolar, but Pete is definitely, usually, angry or very happy. It's not often that he's neutral. That's
There's
what
no
I find.
Gray for him?
I find the gray area very rare. For
By
Pete.
The way, Valdez just mentioned the lying liar machine. We need to figure out what's going on with AWOD. We have 106.7 The Fan live on Friday. And the plan was to have a series of questions for him to take. Apparently, he's going to take that before 106.7 The Fan live. And then we may have the reveal at 106.7 The Fan live.
Right.
AWOD, can you get on mic? Can we find out what's going on? And Drab and Valdez, you can fill us in. What's going on with the lie detector test, first of all?
It's still going to be on Friday during the show. You're right. We're going to pre-record it in the back room and unveil the results during the live show.
What are the questions? Have we nailed them down?
Are you sure you want to hear them?
No. I want to be surprised.
Go. I can tell Eric, because Eric likes to vet this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I want to know. Is there a way where we can get him out of the room and he can't hear? Can I have him just leave the room? Because it's not being played out there, right?
Put him in the Brett booth.
Okay, the Brett booth.
Yeah, but then he might listen to the show.
He won't. It's not that important. He didn't. Just will you promise?
And even if he knows the questions, it's not like it's going to.
It's not like he can really practice. He's not an FBI agent.
All right, that's fine.
So
right,
just
have
him leave the room anyway.
Just everyone
leave
relax.
The room, stupid.
He's not that savvy.
Like right now, you want me to leave?
Yeah, leave the room!
All right.
He really
Go
was.
Home!
Not bright.
We don't even need you.
I'm pissed off at him today, too.
Why?
Because He's a big part of the show on Friday. Like, believe it or not, he's a big part of the show. And so I'm just trying to talk to him and hear his game plan for the show.
Right.
Just because, regular off-the-cuff AWOD is boring and dull and stupid and not funny.
Oh, so he needs to be totally scripted?
And so, well, I
well,
was
you
just,
need to have a plan
well,
or
exactly.
Agenda.
I was like, you got some shtick going on. And I was like, what if you draw abs on your tummy because it's a lock? They'll make you take your shirt off on stage,
right.
or you take cling wrap and wrap like a person's abs, or have a bodysuit underneath.
Just that's to like do next level.
Just to do some shtick. And it was like, I don't know. I'm just go up on stage. just pissed me off. I want the show to be good, yeah. And so I want him to think about
you want
what
to commit to the bit. Well, he thinks the AWOD army is just going to embrace him.
Well, he just thinks everyone's just going to like what he does because he's AWOD. You know, I just want him to think about
it. The only reason why people like him is because we goof on him.
Because he's a punching bag.
Yeah, he doesn't understand.
He has become the show punching
bag.
What are the
leading candidates for the most the biggest lies he's told?
Well, it's not only that. We're just trying to like the Rubik's Cube question. It's a kind of a waste of a question.
So we don't have to.
We threw that one out. Right now, the big one is the final question is, did you get a perfect score on your PSAT in the math portion?
Yeah.
That's the one that we know he's lying about. We can't wait to bust.
By the way, I'm sleeping on this. I did get his information, and I'm kind of sleeping on it because I'm a squeaker and it's going to cost me like $50. But I do have a way of getting his SAT score.
You do?
Yes.
Not the PSAT, his legit SAT score.
But
according to a website... Yes.
But not
I've gathered
before Friday.
The necessary information. Probably. No.
You know, it's great. You can also get his essay if you pay $20 more.
Oh, his essay. Oh, that has got to be the worst essay ever written.
We're
by
anybody.
We'll chip in $5.
Oh, yeah. Come out of pocket for the essay.
I got $4 from you jokers for the NFL playoff, whatever. I'll gladly ship it back.
Right.
I mean, we're just going to read. That's going to be a top of the hour thing where Pete reads it like an update.
Remind me today. And I will contact the SAT people and try and get his SAT essay.
All right, so Drabby, so the closer, the best closer we have is, did you get a perfect score math portion
that's
of the PSAT?
Most, I think that's the most discussed
did
aspect.
He claim he got a perfect score or that he got one wrong? I can't remember.
Well, you can, I know what he's saying.
You
can get
he said
a perfect score.
Perfect
you
score
can, but
the
you
math
can get,
portion.
But you can get a handful wrong and still have a perfect score. He's right about that.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's news
to
me.
You can skip questions.
Yeah, you can skip questions and get a perfect score.
All right, so we're still open. This isn't a final. The final three questions aren't set in stone. So you tell us. Have you ever over-exaggerated the amount of times you've been recognized at Don Tito? Because, again, he comes in here and says every weekend he goes out, people are buying him drinks, high-fived him. Hey, you AWOD from
the AWOD army.
Doesn't happen. We know he's lying about it.
Right.
Has a girl ever seemed unsatisfied by your lovemaking?
Well, do we need a lie detector for that?
Well, he's going to say yes.
He's going to say.
He's going to say no.
You think?
Yeah.
Does he not admit to any shortcomings?
Have you ever heard him admit to any?
It's funny that you say that because I guess I didn't really think about it that way. Is there anything that he admits that he stinks at?
No.
Okay, I'm going to bring him in. I'm going to ask him that. But go ahead, next thing.
And the other one is, do you neglect your work responsibilities to be around Drab T-shirt?
Oh, of course.
That's for sure.
I saw the screenshots from Thommy DeLay yesterday. You guys were in here playing like fake hoops near the TVs.
Blue Shorts last week, and Blue Shorts is our digital guy, runs the web. He sent an email to Blue Shorts to AWOD grilling him because he didn't do a video for 2 days because he sat in here, I guess, and did nothing.
He didn't do a video for 2 days. Isn't that his entire job?
That's his entire job.
A video to go along with the story.
And then Valdez and I thought about it. We were talking, and he didn't leave this room the entire show.
Is he supposed to do one video per day?
One. He's supposed to do like 2 hours of video content a day.
Bring that dummy back in. Go get him, Valdez.
I would like to add this question. I would like to add this question because I think under the lie detector, he has to be honest. And I don't know that I have framed perfectly. I would have to probably write it out. But the question is something to the effect of, do you believe that people like you on the radio because of your talents? Or because of your ignorance, stupidity, and being a show punching bag?
Well, he believes it's because of his talent.
I know.
That's not a good... Like, he'll pass that.
He's delusional.
Doesn't mean that it's true. That's why it's a bad question.
Yeah. I said I have to frame it properly.
Yeah.
So maybe you're popular because of your stupidity, ignorance, and because the guys make fun of you.
All right. We can work on that. All right. Hey, what are you not good at?
I'm good at everything.
What do you mean?
Welcome back.
Liar.
Hold on. What are you not good at?
I'm glad to be back in the studio here.
What are you not good at?
Did you belong here? Do you belong in this studio?
Oh, yeah. I belong in this studio every weekend.
Do you belong?
That's the key component. Weekend.
Every weekend.
Let me ask you, do you deserve your own show every single week?
On the weekend?
Weekday.
I am a strong believer that this station, 106.7 The Fan, should always have some kind of local programming on at any time of the day,
So you're a program director
and they should
now.
Fill it with A1.
Right. Hey, right.
You thought Pedro was upset earlier?
Yeah,
do you think this segment?
Do you think you could do a better show than Pete on sports during the weekend?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Who's better
Who
at broadcasting,
better
you or Pete Medhurst?
Pete Medhurst.
Right. Not even close.
He's probably got me by a lot, but I think I could do a few segments have more energy than him.
I think
I could hit movies and TV shows way better than Pete Medhurst. So, I mean, you got to talk about that eventually.
I think if Pete watched a movie, he could do anything. He'll talk about it better than you.
Pete doesn't have any time to watch a movie.
Yeah, he's too busy driving like to Eastern Pennsylvania to watch Navy.
Right.
Take on Lafayette.
All right, so you will admit that Pete's better than you at broadcasting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think people like you, your AWOD army?
Of course, yes.
Because you're dumb, ignorant, and we make fun of you.
No.
Why do they like you?
Because I bring a different view to the audience here. You guys are old and decrepit, all right? And I bring a younger version to the audience. Yeah. You know, let people know what the dating
life
is
you're
like.
Young
you think our audience is, which, by the way, is probably largely our age.
It is, but the millennial audience is growing. Yeah.
It's clamoring
more people
for your
are watching,
dumb opinion.
Their phone, their tablet.
Do you think anyone out there thinks you're authority on anything?
I think people would definitely agree with me on my Wizards thoughts, 100%.
Do you think that other millennials are proud of you?
A lot of other millennials are pissed off and jealous that like I just got this lucked into this job with the Junkies.
How do you explain being in studio for 2 straight days and producing 0 videos?
What do you mean by that?
Has anybody at this station told you that you should have been doing your job, which is producing videos, over the course of a couple of days versus doing apparently nothing?
Have right, but that was incorrect.
Any emails?
Yes, but that's incorrect.
Who accused you of that?
What do you mean? You want me to call people out on the radio
Step
right now?
Step into my office. Get right. You
Chris
fired.
Lingbach.
Yes.
All right. Blue shorts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you want me to say?
Incorrect.
We go back and forth.
He was incorrect.
Yes, 100%.
So you did do videos.
I've been doing my job every single day. So all the bosses have been 100% okay with every video and the work that I've done here. I've never said anything like, oh, AWOD, you don't put enough effort in. They're always blown away by the effort that I put in. I stay after every single day. I'm doing videos for Chad Dukes now. I don't even do afternoon videos, but they're having me do it because I'm the best at it, EB. There's nobody else at 106.7 that can produce videos like me.
Best by default.
There's no one else that does it.
You're the only
one. Well, I mean, look, they're hiring sales team members. If anyone on the sales team knows how to work a camera, too, they can challenge me for my job. But I've been here 3 years and no one's challenged me.
No one wants your dumb job.
Why not?
Because it's radio, not television.
Because it's a terrible job. Hey. It's a low-paying zilch job.
Did a boss tell you that on Friday you have responsibilities and it's not all about you and that you're expected to work on Friday and you're a little bit miffed by that?
Well, no, I mean, this is 106.7 event. It's a huge event and they're going to need video highlights from this event so that they can sell it again next year.
Right.
Just like I did the highlight last year. And so he was told that, you know, he told me to come early and stay late and prepare to work hard.
And why? You're not happy with that?
Well, I mean, I'm happy with it. I understand it. But with Draven Valdez, I mean, I'm a talent also. So I'm going to be on stage.
Oh,
I'm going to be part of the show.
Oh, diva coming out.
Sometimes I might need someone to run the camera for 10 minutes so I can entertain 1,000 people.
Oh. You know?
I mean, it is 106.7 to AWOD Live.
I think we should just leave the stage and let you go without an agenda.
I think I'd be pretty good.
You do?
Of course.
Add that to the list.
Yeah, put that on the run of show
Add
list.
Add that to the show run.
So he can do his own stand-up.
Give him a bar stool and a mic, and then let's them handle the crowd.
Show.
Let's see you handle the crowd.
You By give way, me a bar stool and a mic, I might end up on Barstool Radio. They're hiring. So.
Hey, in the last 2 weeks, I believe. I don't remember when it was. And the sad thing is he's using some of
I wish I had the kid's confidence.
Probably. You called in sick one day.
Right.
Were you actually sick?
Yeah, I had a stomach ache. I woke up and threw
Kevin,
up.
You're
so soft.
He's stomach aching.
No, look,
you
that's the thing.
Soft?
No, I did turn on the show that day, and I was getting hammered for 15 minutes by you guys, and I understand that's how it works on the Junkies. If you don't show up, you get pummeled the next day, like when Cakes doesn't show up. So
that never happens.
Hold on, wait.
That never happens.
This is his
hold
move.
Hold on, no. When Cakes didn't show up, you were pummeling
move.
Him.
What are you talking about?
He was on vacation.
Okay. That's different than having a tummy hurt.
Do you know how many times I've called out sick to the show in 20 plus years?
Probably not that often.
Exactly. Probably
it has to be less than five times. When your tummy hurts, you go to work.
Stomach ache is so nervous.
I've been working here for three years. I've barely taken any sick days. I'm allowed to have a sick day every once in a while.
No, you had a panic attack in studio. We had to call the ambulance for you.
I had vertigo.
You had an anxiety
attack.
That's
a serious thing. You two wrote a song about it. It's serious.
I'm sure the song was about vertigo.
You had a panic attack, and we had to send you to the hospital.
Were you indeed sick?
Yes.
Or hungover?
No.
No, it wasn't hungover.
Did you throw up?
I did throw up. Did you go out the night before?
No. No.
When was this?
This was like two Wednesdays ago. You didn't even realize I was here. Actually, you woke up and you started the show by saying, AWOD, Drab, and Valdez are here, EB had to say, no.
You're right.
I'm not.
Yeah, my back's to you for a reason.
All right, last thing, because I certainly don't want this to bleed into a second segment. Are you bringing a plus one on Friday? Because I heard he actually has a hot date tomorrow.
I'm working on it. So the other day after the show, EB, you were in here doing some post-show stuff. And Drab and Valdez had this brilliant idea that they should text Rachel from Spider K's and give her one more chance to go out with AWOD.
Who's Rachel from Spider K's?
Oh, she's the hottie that I met over the weekend.
I think you're really cute.
She never returned your text.
She never returned my text.
She gave you a fake number.
Let's go to coffee tomorrow or this weekend.
So Drab and Valdez come up with this, they think, brilliant text. It's like a long paragraph. And they send it, and they're waiting for bubbles. They think that she's going to respond. And I go home later that day, and I decide to send a text to a girl that I had met at Dime Tito.
Right.
And one of these girls responded.
You finally pronounced it correctly.
Right.
She finally responded.
The girl that I hit up responded, and I'm going out with her on Thursday.
Right.
I got a hot date.
Does she look like Jadeveon Clowney?
No, she's so out of my league. Evie, this girl is sexy.
Get out of here.
God, you're making my skin crawl.
All right, that's AWOD. I don't even know why.
So he got yelled at for not producing videos, but he in fact did produce videos. Is that true, or is he lying?
I think he's lying, but who knows? Yeah. I just know that he got grilled for it.
Yeah. So Short sent me some screen cap of did he label the video horribly yesterday?
He always does that
on YouTube.
I mean, probably.
It was hard to decipher.
All right, we got Coach Barry Trotz joining us at 8 o'clock. Craig Hoffman next from the Senior Bowl.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan, heading out to Mobile, Alabama, site of the Senior Bowl. Redskins brass there, and our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, joins us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's up, C-Hoff?
Is he on the Comrex or something?
Yes.
Hey,
yes,
what's up, buddy?
Hello.
On the Comrex.
Mr. Hoffman.
Good morning,
what
boys.
Does the Comrex look like? Is the Comrex like the size of a tape recorder? What is it?
It's a little bigger than that. I don't know. I can send you guys. I can tweet a picture. I'll do that.
Hey, how about I just want one?
At Craig Hoffman.
I would like one. I'd just do the show from my basement with Comrex.
Silly idea.
Now, I saw you tweeting yesterday, at least early on. I didn't monitor all of your tweets, but early on, you were saying Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen were missing some throws.
Yeah, it wasn't great in the drills, but that's also to be expected. And I should have probably been a little bit more explicit in explaining. Like, they were not impressive, but that's not a surprise because you're throwing. So they don't know what they're doing. They're running plays they've never run before. The wide receivers don't know what they're doing. They're running stuff they've never run before. Or at least running it slightly differently. You know, they're the North squad, which is what Mayfield and Allen are on, is being coached by the Broncos. So if all of a sudden the Broncos wide receiver coach is like, hey, this is how we run a comeback, and it's slightly different, you know, your footwork is different, it changes the timing, and now you're getting a ball from a new quarterback. And so I'm sure some of those balls were not necessarily on them. They were on the receivers. But there were also some really egregious misses, specifically by Allen. He missed a couple by just a ton. You go, that's on the quarterback. But then they get into team situations, and they both got better, I think, especially Mayfield. And some of the 11-on-11 work later in the day, he was making some really, really impressive throws where he's putting the ball exactly where it has to be, just on a guy's fingertips, but catchable out of the arms of a defender. So Mayfield looked good as the day went on. I talked to a couple people last night who seemed to think that he had the best day. It's a practice. I can't tell who has good days and bad days. It's hard, mm-hmm. You know, to a point, because, again, you don't really know what they're running. I think what you can see is over the course of these 3 days, I'll get a better idea, because you can kind of see who's getting better, how consistently guys perform. You know, if a guy has a bad day, it doesn't mean all of a sudden he should be dead as a prospect. It's one day of practice with a bunch of guys and a coaching staff he's never worked with before.
Craig, I know you had a conversation with Mason Rudolph, the quarterback from Oklahoma State, and I saw a screenshot of you standing next to him. He looked like the Incredible Hulk, like minus the green makeup. What are his measurables? Talk about your conversation with him, and I know he was in a walking boot. What's his prognosis for being able to perform out at the Senior Bowl?
So he won't play this week. What's today? Wednesday. So he's leaving tomorrow. He's trying to just learn as much as he can, spend as much time as he can with the Broncos staff. He's on the South team, but so he's hoping to go back to Oklahoma State and get out of the boot by Friday. And then I think he said he was training in L.A. So he'll get out of the boot, start some Ultra G treadmill work, which is the gravity free treadmill. So presumably some other conditioning. He said he's already got some weight bearing exercises that he is doing outside of the boot. The boot is on some level precautionary at this point, so he can get through the foot sprain he suffered. He was so mad about it too. Fourth quarter of the bowl game when it was already out of hand, and he sprained his foot. So it's just kind of stinks for him timing wise that he's not getting to play in this game. But I was really impressed with him. He's you know, from like the fun fact side, he grew up a Redskins fan. He was, I think, in Purcellville until he was 11 before moving down to Rock Hill, South Carolina. And when he was down in Rock Hill, which is not very far from Charlotte, he actually became friendly with Joe Gibbs' grandkids. His parents and Joe Gibbs' son are tight somehow. So he's been a Redskins fan for his entire life, which will make for a fun story if he winds up here. But as a player, super productive, threw for 5,000 yards basically at Oklahoma State. He's had really good receivers, and he knew how to use them, trusted them, and he understood that there are times where I'm getting to take this calculated risk because my guy's better than the other guy. But that's an important thing to understand as a quarterback. A lot of the concepts he said he ran at Oklahoma State are similar to NFL concepts. They just called them different things. So he feels like he's pretty prepared coming into the draft. It's just a really impressive put-together kid. He answered a ton of questions before I got to him one-on-one. There was some of a huge scrum. So one, like, nice enough that I appreciate his time, and we'll air the interview this weekend on the Fan. But also, just I could hear the way he got asked the same question multiple times and wasn't fazed by it at all. His professionalism is already pretty impressive for a young kid.
Craig, what are you hearing from the behind the scenes guys? Like, so we know Bruce. No one likes Bruce. He's not really sharing with anybody. Jay's not going to tell any of you guys really what, you know, wink, wink, this is what we're going to do. But the behind the scenes guys, the scouts, right? The guys that we never hear about, that you bump into, that give you your sources, those kind of people, are they insinuating that they're going to go quarterback here in the first round?
You know, I haven't had a lot of those conversations yet this week. I'm hoping to over the next 2 days, but yeah, even in the last couple weeks. I think that they kind of want to see how it plays out. I mean, in some ways, I thought Jay's quote yesterday was interesting. He kept saying, you know, it's Kirk's decision. He's got to decide what's best for him and his family, which would, you know, if you want to really read into that, says like, yeah, we're not going to tag him. We're going to try to sign him. And he's got to decide if he wants to be back. But I also think that the way, and this is over the course of not just the past couple of weeks, but over the course of covering this team for 3 years and kind of being familiar with how they think, and how Jay approaches the draft and the say he has on it, and the limited conversations I've had with the other people that run the draft room and being around it, is they're going to take the best player available. So, like, if they get to 13 and all the quarterbacks they like are gone, like, I don't think they're going to all of a sudden take the 25th best guy on their board just because he's a quarterback. That could mean they try and trade back. That could mean that they take, you know, a second or third round quarterback and they still address it relatively early. But I don't think they're going to gung-ho go into this saying, we're going to take a quarterback at 13. That's just not really how they operate. Obviously, it was a different story with Griffin in 12, but I don't think they really enter a draft going like, we have to take X position. They have positions they want. Last year, they could not have been happier that Jonathan Allen fell to them at 17. It's exactly who they wanted. In their wildest dreams, they never thought he'd be available. So I think they probably go in, if Kirk has, you know, at that point signed somewhere else, I think that if they go in and say, these are the guys we would take at 13, and if none of them are there, they're not all of a sudden, barring Daniel Snyder barging into the draft room, which obviously I haven't talked to him either, barring Snyder barging into the draft room and going, take whoever, I don't think that they would really just push a quarterback at 13 unnecessarily.
All right, Seahawks, let's play this game then. If you could give Gruden truth serum, right, do you think he would tell you that the top two players he's looking at in this game or in these practices are Mayfield and Allen?
Ooh, that's tough. Probably. I mean, Jay's a quarterback at heart and was obviously a quarterback as a player. He's a quarterback guy. He did, interestingly enough, yesterday spend quite a bit of time around the linemen in the one-on-one drill. So he's definitely looking at other guys too. But I think you just have to be prepared. I think you have to be prepared for Cousins to leave, even if you're going to do everything you can in your power to make sure that he doesn't. You can't be caught with your pants down. And so I think he's got to walk out of this week with – and obviously, look, there's no position where his voice is louder in the room than quarterback. So if they get to the point where they're putting together their draft board a couple weeks before the draft, after the combine, after the interviews, after everything, and they look at Jay and they go, who are your guys? He better have started from this week moving forward having a really good understanding of who those guys are.
Craig, you know, in previous years, running backs' value in the draft has been diminished. But it seems like there's a little bit of a resurgence. How many running backs are potentially worthy of the 13th pick?
Ooh, I mean, Saquon Barkley's not worthy of it in that he's higher.
He's too high.
Right. He's worthy of a pick much better than that.
I don't
that.
Think anybody in this game, anyway.
Yeah, there's not anybody in this game. Darius Geis from LSU I've seen floated that high. There might be one other that pushes up the board. You know, I know that some Redskins scouts were talking to Rashad Penny yesterday from San Diego State. You know, and this is obviously early in the draft process for me, too, so I'm still getting to know these guys in a lot of different ways. And we'll spend time watching them and getting to know them and getting scouts' opinions on them over the next couple of weeks. And obviously I'll be in Indianapolis for the combine as well. But I think Geis could be in play, but I don't know. I think that at this point where I'm seeing him mocked and all those kinds of things, that seems a little rich even for him, and he seems to be the second back on the board.
I'll say this. Samuels from NC State and Wadley from Iowa were really productive players in college, and they're both really athletic. So yeah.
I know there's guys I love. Like, I love Sony Michel from Georgia. Like, if you draft – there were, you know, 10 players on the national or on the field in the national title game where I go, if you draft one of them in the first two rounds, like, I'm thrilled.
Hey, let me throw another name out to you, all right? Just because of what the injury history of Jordan Reed is. And I'm sure you're going to watch this kid, and I watched every single game he played. Mike Gesicki, the tight end at Penn State, is an athletic freak. He's 6'5". He's about 240. He's probably got a 40-inch vertical. He might be the most athletic tight end in the draft. But just saying, you know, I know Reed's got the big contract and everything, but I would assume that they're looking in that position as well because, you know, right. Vernon Davis was their backup, and he's aging.
Right. So here would be my question back, because I honestly haven't watched him yet. I watched a couple Penn State games, but was mostly watching Barkley and just in awe of what he can do. How's he as a blocker? Because I think they're going to plan on Jordan Reed being the number one tight end and Vernon Davis being his backup in that pass catching role. I think they would like another tight end, but it's got to be someone who can do both. It can't just be a pass catching tight end. That their offense and their run game was just dreadful last year, in part in large part because their tight ends could not block.
Yeah.
And so I think they let Niles walk in free agency. I think Sprinkle's a blocker, but he's not really a threat in the pass game, and he's got to become way better as a blocker, and he will as he gets older and has more experience and more reps in the league. But I don't think you can just draft another glorified wide receiver at tight end. So if this kid out of Penn State can do both, yeah, he's going to be on their radar. You know, Troy Fumagalli, who's here in Mobile out of Wisconsin, he's a guy that's known as someone who can do both.
Yeah,
now, I watched him yesterday. He's not fast.
They're totally different players. Not going to be
your big play down the field guy. You know, if you want to say he's a Chris Cooley type because he's a white tight end that's not super fast but, you know, runs good routes and blocks pretty well, sure, fine. And obviously Chris was a great player for a long time for the Redskins. And maybe he's the kind of guy that can supplement Reed in this offense where he's never going to have their best cover guy on him. But more importantly, can actually set an edge. But, you know, if this kid out of Penn State can block, then, yeah, of course Jay's always going to be interested in a really good tight end.
Yeah,
it's a huge part
I'm
of
interested
offense.
In that. So ask around. I'm not sure how much he was asked to block. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Well,
because
I mean,
of the offense they ran.
Right. Also, like when you're blocking for Saquon Barkley, it's pretty easy to look good.
Yeah. So, yeah, get back to me on that. I'd be interested in that.
We'll do.
All right, Craig. Enjoy your time in Alabama.
I will. Talk to you guys.
All right, buddy.
Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter. From Mobile, Alabama, site of the Senior Bowl, where I guess Baker Mayfield says he doesn't know if he's going to play yet, or he hasn't responded yet.
What did he measure at? Because I know he missed the early measurement.
Slightly over 6 feet tall, 219, I want to say.
216, I think.
216.
So he didn't hit the 6'1 mark.
No.
It's about my height then, because I'm like 6 3/4.
Yeah, he's like 6 3/8, I think.
That's what he is.
I might be a hair taller than that.
Yeah, but you don't have the rifle arm that he has.
No, I don't.
All right, we'll come back. We'll go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. Remember, Coach Barry Trotz from the Capitals at 8 o'clock. Honoring your sacrifice with our service to help our military veterans. Visit helppurpleheart.com. So the New England Patriots will wear their road white jerseys in Super Bowl 52 against the Eagles.
This is important.
Patriots' home jersey is blue, but as the home team, they can decide which jersey to wear, and perhaps they have their Super Bowl history in mind when choosing white. When they've worn the blue unis in the Super Bowl, they're 2-2. With white, they're 3-1.
When they beat the Eagles, whatever year that was, 2005, I think, they wore the white unis. Trying to recapture that.
They're 2-2, wearing the blue, and 3-1, wearing the white, correct?
Yes, because this is their 10th Super Bowl appearance. Correct?
Okay, but he only gave us
eight games. They wore red.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
ESPN apparently is going to speak with Peyton Manning about the Monday Night Football job. So far, the only other name which I saw was Matt Hasselbeck. I guess he's calling the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
That seems like a boring pick after you have a big name like John Gruden.
I don't think anybody's going to match up to Gruden.
Gruden's enthusiasm?
Yeah.
But Romo. Peyton would be a really good pick.
No, Romo gets a lot of criticism.
I know people don't like him. I personally like his enthusiasm. He just
talks a little too much.
Yeah, I think that's true.
A little too much. He'll learn over time. He's different. Yeah, he's different. He definitely has enthusiasm, give him that.
Right. I like his enthusiasm. And I don't mind when he calls out the plays.
But sometimes I don't want to say he over-exaggerates, but he's got to let the game breathe a little bit. You know,
I think you're right.
On every single down, he's like, this is a big one. It's like, you know, if it's the first quarter and it's 2nd and 8, and it's not a big one.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, we'll see. But I will say that he's got the enthusiasm, no doubt.
Right.
So we just talked to our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, from the Senior Bowl. All the teams there are looking at potential draft choices, and of course the Browns have the first pick in the draft, and everybody expects them to draft a quarterback with that number one pick. Couple of reports. Number one, their GM says that it's fake news that they're not going to draft Josh Rosen, that he's off the board.
Who said that again?
John Dorsey.
That's the new GM for the Browns.
So they have the number one and the number four pick. The second story kind of come out of Cleveland.
Why is Rosen off the, do you say why? Is it injury history?
No, he's saying he's not off the board.
Yeah, because it would be some stupid. You would never say. Yeah.
There are some rumors
keep
that,
all your options in play.
That he is off the board. But then asked about the quarterback, he said, in this class, there are four or five prospects that make you think, at least, are they worthy of that position?
Ah, the trade down. This is what he's hyping up.
Yeah, then he talks about the criteria.
This is what
he says the guys are exciting. He says, do they win? Do they have the physical skills necessary to play that position? They have a strong arm. They have deep ball accuracy. They have feet. Can they extend play? Are they a leader of men? We could go on and on, but at the end of the day, it's all about winning.
Yeah, but here's the thing with winning.
And that's why,
and this is
some
why I think it goes
think,
back to that which, other guy we had on. Some programs just win regardless of the quarterback.
Right.
Jalen Hurts
wins,
but he's not going to be your number one pick. You know what I mean? That's why I think I like that guy. Does he elevate your program? That factor.
Quarterback effect.
Yes.
Dave Bartow.
Listen, that's not foolproof. You got a guy like a Buffalo who's struggling, but I like that question.
So we'll see. I think that a lot could be dependent on whether they decide to bring in a vet. What if they are able to actually woo Kirk Cousins and say, you know what we're going to do? Kirk, if you sign with us, we're going to draft Saquon Barkley and we're going to draft Calvin Ridley. And we're going to load up because we're going to trade down from that first pick. We're going to bring in some skill position players.
They already have Corey Coleman and Josh Gordon if he can keep his nose clean. And you add another piece to that and you put Barkley in the backfield. All of a sudden, you have the makings of a decent offense.
And you've got Todd Haley as your offensive coordinator now.
Right.
I don't know what Hugh Jackson is going to be doing.
I just still
delegating.
I just don't see Kirk Cousins wanting to go to Cleveland.
I don't think so either, but I'm saying that they could go that route, go with the vet, if they're able to get somebody that they believe can be their franchise quarterback for a while.
I mean,
and
they
then
could go
trade down that number one pick.
Yep.
Acquire even more picks, which they have a bunch.
Stay at four and pick Barkley.
And then just load up with studs.
Right. I don't hate the idea.
Eventually, something's going to work there. Eventually.
I mean, it hasn't happened. Clock is right two times a day
at
or whatever.
At some point, they'll get it right, but it's been a long,
but it starts. But it starts with the quarterback.
Yeah.
Still don't know if Baker Mayfield's going to play in the Senior Bowl, but he is trying to shake Johnny Manziel comparisons, which I think is just basically on his size and kind of the freewheeling type of play in college football.
A little bit off-field stuff, too.
Maybe a little bit, but he says, I want to show the type of guy I am. Everybody wants to portray me as a bad boy, the Johnny Manziel stuff. I love the game of football. There's no doubt about that. I'm an emotional player. I'll do anything it takes to win. I love being around my teammates, leading, and having responsibilities. It is what it is. If I paid too much attention to it, I'd be focusing on the wrong thing.
The problem is, and I hate, this sounds dumb, I guess, because it's just a universal opinion that Johnny Manziel is the worst thing ever. But I maintain, we never got to see Johnny Manziel perform up to his ability because he was high.
Yep.
He was on crack. I mean, you know what I mean? So
he was drunk.
Yeah, so it sucks.
The there were rumors that Mayfield didn't want to do the weigh-in, but he did measure 6 feet and 3/8 of an inch, and he weighed 216 pounds.
Right.
So I felt like he was a little bit heavy.
He sounds fat.
Why is that heavy?
I don't know.
It's not. I'm 6 foot and like 5/8, and I think I weighed 202. And he's a big fatty.
No, he actually has muscles.
I understand, Ricky.
Hey, the comparisons with Manziel, there really aren't any. Because, like you said, Baker Mayfield never really got into... I mean, yeah, he ran from the cop, he was drunk, whatever. And he held his package in the Kansas game.
Yeah, but what about the on-field comparisons? Like, how much did he create stuff on... You know, I didn't watch a lot of Baker Mayfield.
No, I'm just talking about the character
off-field
issues.
Yeah.
Character issues, maybe not.
There's no comparison.
Even my son, who's 10, he says Baker Mayfield reminds him of Johnny Manziel. Just the way he plays.
Did he create a ton of stuff with his legs?
He moves around in the pocket a lot.
Not as much as Manziel.
Right. Did he throw as many balls up for grabs like Manziel did? That was the one knock you could say. He had the receiver that's
Mike Evans.
No, he was pretty.
Might have made him look a lot better than he was.
Look, Mayfield's numbers are pretty damn accurate. He was pretty accurate in his career.
It's a stature thing, I think.
I just wish I could take same back stat.
That's exactly what
Johnny Manziel compare him to Drew Brees in?
Mock draft pick.
Well, just recent college players.
Yeah, I mean, I think the height thing is way overrated. But that's just me. I know I differ from Jason.
Oh, it's the crotch thing and Johnny going like this.
Yeah, he's got a little moxie to him.
Yeah, the moxie.
Yeah.
All right,
coming up
like.
Next, Washington Capitals head coach Barry Trotz joins us on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.